Blog Talk Radio.
Most of the time, you don't have to think about what to do. You just go ahead and do it.
From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio. It's a special Friday edition. Welcome. We haven't been here in a while. We've been over there working with those Liberty News folks, and it has been good times, I'm telling you. It has been good times. We figured that we would do a quick show today to let you know that we're still out here, that the Will Lawson Show is still on the air, and we really don't have any intent on it not being here. Sometimes just doing both in the same day, especially as we get up, getting up on our feet on the Liberty Newscast, has been quite a struggle. You know, we've got to... It's a little different when we have to make sure that we post that show up by a certain amount of time. And we've had some difficulty, not with the Liberty Nice Newscast folks. They've been awesome. But it's just been it's been a technical struggle, and it's taken up some time. Hopefully we've got the bugs worked out. We've got some agreement on how that's going to work out and how that's going to play out. So if you want to, you can go to Liberty News. .com and under podcast, the new cast from the day is up. The new show, and basically it's Obama's form of transparency, the brick wall. and you know what? If you want to help this show, that's a great way to do it. Go to libertynews.com and go to podcast and then bookmark the site and continue to update it. And you know what? And even if you feel, you know what, you might feel like, hey, listen. Some of the advertisements there you may be interested in, so click on that. That yeah, that even helps more. I'll be honest with you. That even helps more. So there's all sorts of things you can click on there, and if you can again subscribe to the Liberty Newscast, click while you're on the on the podcast page, click like on the YouTube or the Twitter or the Facebook thing. And enjoy. Right now we've got we've gone to two pages. Cool. Some Liberty Newscasts from earlier in the month, and we're getting good at getting them up right now. We did the State of the Union review. We've got Jim Greer and the State of the Union preview. We've got the one where Jim Greer cops a plea. This Monday, the one we have Eric Odom. Joined us on Monday to talk about Karl Rove and some other things. You know, we're getting our act together. Praise the Lord, we are getting our act together. So if you really want to, you know, and a lot of people have helped this show financially, but if you want to help this show and you can't do it financially, so we are ready to move forward. So there you go. All right, you know, it's interesting. Today we want to spend a little bit of time talking about, and we've been doing this a lot on this show, talking about the GOP and the conservative movement and the urban strategy, and having an urban strategy. Because I don't really think that I really don't believe for a minute that the GOP is still developing. Folks, it's February, it's mid February, it's the 15th. It's the Ides of February. The Ides, I tell you, of February. And you know what? And I don't know of anybody that who is who's black or who's urban, who was comfortable saying, "Oh yeah, the GOP has got this on lock, man. This crap on lock." But I don't think so. I don't think that anybody believes that. I don't think anybody believes that for not even a second. I think that what most people believe is that the GOP is trying to be something that they're not trying to double down on the same crap that failed before. You know, the conservative movement trying to fend off people like Karl Rove instead of ignoring people like Karl Rove, in the sense of saying, you know what, Karl Rove, you're an ass. Go away. Thanks so much. You know, 20 years ago, I guess you used to be a force, but, you know, right now, not so much. Let's look at your track record, homeboy. Let's look at the scoreboard, because that's all, because we have to understand that's all that really matters. You know, my friend from, oh my goodness, the names are going away right now. Oh, help me. But, and I'll go with a second, my friend who said, Ned Ryan of, he goes, okay. Ned Ryan said that that politics is policy. If you win elections, you get to set policy. You know what you don't, I mean, you know what you get if you don't win elections? You get to set down. That's what you get to do. You know what, if you win elections, you get to set policies. If you don't win elections, you get to set down. That's what you get to do. You know, that's the deal. So, you know, that's what's really important. Hang on a second. I'm trying to hook up with Kevin Jackson. Kevin Jackson is pitching in for Bortz, and you want to check it out. Neil Bortz in your area. You want to check him out because I'm going to tell him, offering any help I can. Go, big brother. How about that? All right. So there you go. My friend Kevin Jackson, he's doing a hell of a job. You know what? And those are the kind of voices. Those are the kind of voices that the GOP and the conservative movement need to get behind. That's really the deal. You know what? To find out that that his show is replaced Neil Bortz in a couple of markets. That's what we're talking about. Go, big brother. Go. Do your deal damn thing. Bang, bang, bang. Coordinate. That's awesome. So we hope to have him either on this show or another show on Google Hangout for a little bit, sometime next week or the week afterward, to help him push that thing forward. Because we're all pushing this forward together, ladies and gentlemen. We're all pushing this thing forward together, and because that's how we're going to have to do it. We talked about this 3 years ago, that we got to do this together. We got to move forward together. That's how we got to do it. And if the GOP and the conservative movement aren't willing to look at the urban community, they are screwed. They have screwed themselves. We had, a speech from, we haven't had a chance to talk about this on this show, a speech from Ben Carson. Ben Carson is a famed pediatric neurosurgeon and was at Johns Hopkins, who's about ready to retire, as a matter of fact. We're here. He's going to be retiring this summer. He was at the prayer breath with the president and basically speaking truth and common sense to power. And that was the most, for me, that was the most amazing, amazing thing that this man, you know, and Ben Carson is, he's not trying to make friends. He's not, you know, I don't think Dr. Carson is trying to make enemies, but he's not trying to make friends. He's not trying to get in with one side of the political elite or the other. He's just there to tell the truth. And if you're willing to accept the truth, if you're willing to accept the truth, then you're not gonna. Then frankly, you're not gonna have any. I don't think you're gonna have any problem with Dr. Carson.
Invited.
Hang on a second here. I don't think you're gonna have any problem with Dr. Carson. I don't. If you're willing to accept the truth, if you believe in what's real, I don't think you're gonna have any problem. But if your agenda is such that the truth is an encumberment to your agenda, then you're going to have a problem with Dr. Carson. We're going to play a little bit. We're going to play a little bit of Drop the Needle, frankly, and we're going to play a little bit of Drop the Needle, and comment on the comments of Dr. Carson. Because it's important. It doesn't even matter where I started. It's 27 minutes long. It doesn't even matter where I started. You know, it doesn't even matter where I started. This is such truth. This is such reality. This is such an important conversation being had that it doesn't really matter. So we're just going to start this right there. What the heck? No. We are going to, except that now that my computer's been you know, I probably just needs a good flushing. You know, we all
you're overblowing it. Things aren't that bad. And you're a doctor, a neurosurgeon. Why are you concerned about these things? I've got news for you. Five doctors signed the Declaration of Independence. Doctors were involved in the framing of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, a whole bunch of things. It's only been in recent decades that we've extracted ourselves, which I think is a big mistake. We need doctors and we need scientists, engineers. We need all of those people involved in government, not just lawyers. I don't have anything against lawyers, but, you know, here's the thing about lawyers. And I'm sorry, but I got to be truthful, okay? Got to be truthful. What do lawyers learn in law school? To win. By hook or by crook, you got to win. So you got all these Democrat lawyers and you got all these Republican lawyers, and all their side wants to win. We need to get rid of that. What we need to start thinking about is how do we solve problems?
Did you hear that? You see, over time, we've been told, what have we been told? To leave politics to the politicians, the professional politicians. We've been told to leave politics to the politicians. Well, Dr. Carson makes a great point. There are five doctors who signed the Declaration of Independence. Five doctors. And we need doctors and teachers and engineers and all sorts of people from all sorts of walks of life to get involved. That means you too. That means you too. You that work at the grocery store, you that work as a cab driver, you that work in a security firm, you that work as an assistant teacher or a teacher, you that work as a store owner, a musician. Yeah, you. And in every neighborhood, not just the rich white neighborhoods, I'm saying, I don't care. Not just the rich white neighborhoods, no. In every single aspect of life, is important that we get involved in this conversation. We'll play more of Dr. Carson. We're going to go to 1710 and play a little drop needle. Go. Hang on a second here. All right, because you know what? I just love it. It didn't even matter. There are 1,762,000 listens to this, and there are people, of course, who 378 go, oh, I don't think you should have said what he said.
.org. But why is it so important that we educate our people? Because we don't want to go down the same pathway as many other pinnacle nations who have preceded us. I think particularly about ancient Rome. Very powerful. Nobody could even challenge them militarily. But what happened to them? They destroyed themselves from within. Moral decay. Fiscal irresponsibility. They destroyed.
All right, let me translate this. Rome, of course, had big bad military, had great military technology, even down to their footwear. Their sandals had things on them that when they walked over, people that were fighting, they cut into them to make sure as they were walking over them that they continued to stab the people who had fallen, the vanquished. They stabbed them as they moved forward. If you fell off your horse or you fell down, you got knocked down, chances of you dying increased because, yeah, these guys were going to step on you and stab you. They weren't going to step on you with a leather sole of their sandal. They were going to step on you with the pointed bottom of their shoe. They were going to win. but they destroyed themselves by moral decay and fiscal irresponsibility. Does that sound like anybody else you know? And what the good doctor didn't say was that part of that moral decay are things like what? Abortion, things like what? The destruction of traditional marriage, to try to put something else in place of traditional marriage. Yes, gay marriage. Yes, yes, same sex marriage. Yeah, that's moral decay. The premarital sex, extramarital sex. Yes, there's a moral decay. Drug use, pharmakeia. From the Bible, which is has to do with being possessed by a demon. Yeah, all those things. And those were some of the very same things that happened to the Romans. Homosexuality, moral decay, non-traditional, not extramarital affairs, all that stuff. Destroyed the Roman society. Not being responsible with their money. He talks earlier about $16.5 trillion of debt. $16.5 trillion of debt is one of those things that you can't, if you could count a number, if you could say a number every second, which you can't, because very quickly you can't. You can go from 1, 2, 3, 4, blah, blah, blah. By the time you get to 372,419, that takes more than a second to say. But if you could take more than a half a billion years to count to 16 trillion. That's irresponsible. Let's see if we can get that back here. You can't count there.
Particularly about ancient Rome. Very powerful. Nobody could even challenge them militarily. But what happened to them? They destroy themselves from within. Moral decay. Fiscal irresponsibility. They destroyed themselves. And if you don't think that can happen to America, you get out your books and you start reading. But you know, we can fix it. Why can we fix it? Because we're smart. We have some of the most intellectually gifted people leading our nation. All we need to do is remember what our real responsibilities are so we can solve the problems. I think about these problems all the time. And, my role model was Jesus. And he used parables to help people understand things. And one of our big problems right now, and like I said, I'm not politically correct, so I'm sorry. But, our deficit is a big problem.
Our deficit is a big problem. Now, if you're watching this video, this is tough because the president doesn't change his expression at all. He doesn't seem happy. The guy who's sitting next to him, introduced him, doesn't seem happy. Wow. It's amazing.
Think about it. And our national debt, $16.5 trillion. You think that's not a lot of money? Say what? Count one number. Second, which you can't even do, because once you get to 1,000, it takes you longer than a second. But one number per second, you know how long it would take you to count the 16 trillion? 507,000 years. More than a half a million years to get there. We have to deal with this. Here's a parable. A family falls on hard times. Dad loses his job or demoted, gets part-time work. He has five children. He comes to the five children, he says, we're going to have to reduce your allowance. Well, they're not happy about it, but he said, except for John and Susan, they're special. They get to keep their allowance. In fact, we may give them more. How do you think that's going to go down? Not too well. What about our taxation system? So complex. There is no one who can possibly comply with every jot and tittle of our tax. In fact, if I wanted to get you or you, I could get you on a tax issue. That doesn't make any sense. What we need to do.
And it's so funny as I'm watching this. Again, I've seen this a number of times, to watch the president's face And that's the deal. You know what? And a lot of us said that. We've been saying that for a while. Is that the tax system is too complex. Now, you remember when somebody brought up a simplified plan. It was called 999.
That won't work. That's a silly thing I've ever heard of. Blah, 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 blah. This person doesn't know.
Yeah, and that abuse was coming from so-called conservative Republicans. Why? Because the guy who brought it up wasn't their dude. Wasn't their guy. America is screaming, is yelling, is begging for a tax system by which they can understand. So one gets presented because nobody else, none of the other eight candidates was smart enough or had the stones enough to present one.
I can't do that.
And just pitched right in with the Democrats, pitched right in with MSNBC, pitched right in with the rest of the leftists and said, this guy doesn't know. Pizza guy, how was he know?
It's come up with something that's simple. And when I pick up my Bible, you know what I see? I see the fairest individual in the universe, God, and he's given us a system. It's called tithe. Now, we don't necessarily have to do it 10%, but it's principle. He didn't say, if your crops fail, don't give me any tithes. He didn't say, if you have a bumper crop, give me triple tithes. So there must be something inherently fair about proportionality. You make $10 billion, you put in a billion. You make $10, you put in one. Of course, you got to get rid of the loophole. But...
And the president is not happy. The president is not happy. Think about the tithe. For those of you who tithe, think about the tithe. It's 10%. It's proportional. Now, what he's saying is that maybe 10% ain't the number. But it's a common sense that we've been saying here on the Win and Lawson Show for a long, long time, and that we have this discussion with people who want to have this crazy discussion and tell you that $1 billion is well, he doesn't, because he's going to mention in a minute, well, it doesn't hurt that guy. Well, who says you have to be hurting people? You know, it's insane. We'll continue. There you go.
If your crops fail, don't give me any tithes. He didn't say if you have a bumper crop, give me triple tithes. So there must be something inherently fair about proportionality. You make $10 billion, you put in a billion. You make $10, you put in one. Of course, you got to get rid of the loophole. But.
And applause, everybody, applause.
They say, well, that's not fair because it doesn't hurt the guy who made $10 billion as much as the guy who made 10. Where does it say you have to hurt the guy? He just put $1 billion in the pot. You know, we don't need to hurt him. You know, it's that kind of thinking.
And the president
it's
is not
kind
smiling.
That kind of thinking that has resulted in 602 banks in the Cayman Islands. That money needs to be back here, building our infrastructure and creating jobs. And we're smart enough to figure out how to do that. We've already started down the path of solving one of the other big problems, health care. We need to have good health care for everybody. It's the most important thing that a person can have. Money means nothing, titles means nothing when you don't have your health. But we got to figure out efficient ways to do it.
Okay, now the president is hoping, but he knows things about to get hammered. He's hoping, and everybody was like, is Carson going to go with socialized medicine? Is he really? Because he says, I think he means that we started a discussion because health is important and that everybody's concerned. Nobody wants anybody to be ill. Nobody wants anybody to die in the street of illness and not get treatment. Check this out. Hang on a second. I don't know what in the world, but you know what? So this is really, really important here. Check
this out. We've already started down the path of solving one of the other big problems, health care. We need to have good health care for everybody. It's the most important thing that a person can have. Money means nothing. Titles means nothing when you don't have your health. But we got to figure out efficient ways to do it. We spend a lot of money on health care, twice as much per capita as anybody else in the world, and yet not very efficient. What can we do? Here's my solution. When the person is born, give them a birth certificate, an electronic medical record, and a health savings account, to which money can be contributed pre-tax from the time you're born to the time you die. When you die, you can pass it on to your family members so that when you're 85 years old and you got six diseases, you're not trying to spend up everything. You're happy to pass it on, and there's nobody talking about death panels. That's number one. And
the president looks down at his feet.
You know, for the people who are indigent, who don't have any money, we can make contributions to their HSA each month because we already have this huge pot of money. Instead of sending it to some bureaucracy, let's put it in their HSAs. Now they have some control over their own health care. And what do you think they're going to do? They're going to learn very quickly how to be responsible. When Mr. Jones gets that diabetic foot ulcer, he's not going to the emergency room and blowing a big chunk of it. He's going to go to the clinic. He learns that very quickly. Gets the same treatment. In the emergency room, they send him out. In the clinic, they say, now let's get your diabetes under control so you're not back here in 3 weeks with another problem. That's how we begin to solve these kinds of problems. It's much more complex than that, and I don't have time to go into it all. But we can do all of these things because we're...
I'm guessing that Dr. Ben Carson was not on any of the committees that the president set up when he started pushing his health care legislation. I'm guessing that Dr. Ben Carson was not on any of the committees that Mitt Romney set up when he started pushing his socialized medicine in Massachusetts or anywhere else. Because I'll tell you what, and I'm going to tell you again, I've told you before, and I'm going to continue to tell you, that it's not about getting people covered. It's not about that at all. What it's really about is control over people's lives. Because all Dr. Carson has said is this. He said that this system, this sort of thought, allows people to be in control of their own lives. That's what the deal is. Now people can be in control of their own lives. And he said, very, very hopefully, and people now will be, these people will figure it out. See, the Mitt Romney, and I'm not meaning just to throw Mitt Romney under the bus or even the president, but the Mitt Romneys and the Barack Obamas of the world believe that you're never going to and the Nanny Bloomberg is, you're never going to figure it out. They say that you're too stupid, that you're too ignorant, that you're too dumb, that you're too whatever you are, that you're never going to figure it out. So we have to figure it out for you. We are in an expert-dominated existence, that we need experts. And we need, obviously, we need politicians to do politics. We don't need doctors to do politics. Who does politics the best? Lawyers, and lawyers become politicians. And that you're too stupid to think about these things for yourself. That, you know what, that Mayor Bloomberg, Nanny Bloomberg of New York, says, you know what, that we're gonna cut down your sugary drinks, New York, because you people are too fat and too stupid. Fat and stupid, that's a dangerous combination, according to the left especially. You can be skinny and stupid, but you can't be fat and stupid. That is for sure. The idea that you're too fat and stupid to figure out that, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have five big gulps a day. Maybe I shouldn't. Although almost none of you have five big gulps a day. So maybe some of you have figured that out. But because two of 100 of you have not figured that out, then no big drinks for you guys because you're too stupid to handle it. You know what? There's too much salt in the food, and he tried to take away the salt shakers off the table because, you know what? You guys don't know how to handle a salt shaker. Can you imagine? You imagine making it illegal for a restaurant to have salt on the table. Why? Because the people of New York are too stupid, too ignorant, too moronic. IQs are too low to handle a salt shaker, so we're going to take salt shakers away from you. You serious? And this guy is still mayor? How can he not be a rerun out of town on a frickin' rail in New York or anywhere else? Because I'm telling you, we would put up with that crap in Tampa for about a minute, maybe half a minute. Where you start saying, what, you're going to go to a Columbia restaurant and tell them they can't put salt on the table? You're going to go, are you really going to say, oh, yeah, we can't have that Cuban sandwich because of the nitrates and the cold cuts, and we can't have that anymore because you don't want us to have it, and you're going to push that through city council? I don't think so, homie. Yeah, try bringing that crap down here. You know, and I thought, well, wait a minute. I thought you New Yorkers with a tough crowd. You know, you don't put up with that. You live your own life. In your own path. No, you're not. Yes, Nanny Bloomberg. No salt. No, yes, Nanny Bloomberg. No sugar. Yes, Nanny Bloomberg. No nitrate. Yes, Nanny Bloomberg. Electric cars. Yes, Nanny Bloomberg. Oh, yeah. Oh, that whole idea of, and this is completely off the track, but I don't care right now. You can't run three times. Yes, Nanny Bloomberg, you may change the law so you can run three times and win. And then change it back, Nanny Bloomberg. Yes. What the hell? And all that Dr. Carson has said is, you know what, have enough faith that people can lead their own lives and can figure it out for themselves. President, I mean, and as I watch this, President didn't applaud during these lines. Not at all. Let's see if we can play a little bit more of this.
We're smart people. And let me just begin to close here by another parable. Sea captain, and he's out on the sea near the area where the Titanic went down. And they look ahead, and there's a bright light right there. Another ship, he figures. And he tells his signaler, signal that ship. Deviate 10 degrees to the south. Back comes the message. No, you deviate 10 degrees to the north. Well, he's a little bit incensed, you know. He says, send a message. This is Captain Johnson. Deviate 10 degrees to the north. Back comes the message. This is Ensign Fourth Class Riley. Deviate 10 degrees to the south. Now he's really upset. He says, send him a message. This is a naval destroyer. Back comes the message. This is a lighthouse. Enough said. Now, what about the symbol of our nation? The eagle, the bald eagle. It's an interesting story how we chose that. But a lot of people think we call it the bald eagle because it looks like it has a bald head. That's not the reason. It comes from the old English word piebald, which means crowned with white. And we just shorten it to bald. Now, use that the next time you see somebody who thinks they know everything. You get them on that one. But why is that eagle able to fly high forward? Because it has two wings, a left wing and a right wing. Enough said.
And he didn't even smile on that one. It's amazing. I love that. But you know what? Here's the deal. We're going to take a little break. But the common sense contained in this, and you can get to this this video on our libertynews.com site. And again, go to libertynews.com and go to podcast, and you'll see my podcast from Liberty News. And this video is still up in the video block on Liberty News. So if you want to help the Willie Lawson Show and you can't write a check or you can't send any money to the willielawsonshow.com page, and you know what? It's not as impactful right away, but you know what? Over the long term, it'll work. So if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. If you can do more, please do more. Go to the willielawsonshow.com site and click the donate button at the top of the page right underneath my picture. We appreciate it. We'll be back in just a little bit with more of the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble had speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
It's late until, wait, don't too.
Don't wait until it's too late. Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone. At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home,
or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org.
Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say
sweater?
That?
Really?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Willie Lawson, and I'm the host of the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. It is great to be here today on independent media, such as Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. I want to talk to you for a second about you supporting this endeavor. Now, you know what? The folks at Fox, they have sponsors, multi-million dollar sponsors. You know, with enough sponsors, they make millions and millions of dollars a year. So you know what, they're fine doing what they do. But those of us here in independent conservative media need your help. So if you're willing to help, and if you understand the importance of independent conservative media, right now go to WillLawsonShow.com and click on the donate button at the top of the page. I'll appreciate it, and your country will appreciate it. Thank you ever so much.
All right. Well, welcome back. Yeah, I'm just getting a cup of coffee. I'll be here in a minute. Give me a break. Oh my God. Listen, it has been a gas to be back in the seat of the Pesar Production Studios of the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a gas, and I really, really appreciate it that you've come here. We are still, folks. Still, do not give up on the Willie Lawson Show. We have not dumped you for a prettier, more beautiful website, and it is. I'm just telling you, it is. Liberty News, the LibertyNews.com site is gorgeous, and interactive, and all those things. We are deciding what to do with the Will Austin Show site. I think we're going to go over to WordPress, and we're going to be able to post these shows and be able to post. Some Google Hangouts and some Ustream videos and the whole nine, and really update it and really move it forward. We're going to need your help because the Willie Lawson Show is headed to CPAC. We are doing all we can to get there next month, folks. And right now we've got $0 in the coffer to go, and I'm believing that you are concerned and you want the Willie Lawson Show to be there. You've seen the benefit of that. You've seen us at CPAC Florida. You've seen us at the Republican National Convention held here in Tampa. You've seen us work. You've seen us taking what we do here and merging it with Liberty News folks and election coverage. And now you've seen our value, and you're ready to see the Will Austin Show at CPAC move to the next level. So I've got faith and confidence in what we're doing here, and I know. And I really do. I really believe this in my heart of hearts, that we are getting ready to do something. We're getting ready to do something special. And you believe that, and I believe that. So here we go. So you can go to the WillLawshow.com site and click the donate button at the top of the page, right underneath my picture. I know you will, and I'll tell you, we need to raise about $1,500 between now and then to make it all happen. And I have no problem in believing that's actually going to happen. All right, folks, we'll be back on Monday. I think we're going to try to do a show Monday, 1 o'clock. And we appreciate you being here. We really, really do. It's been fun. And I don't know what we'll talk about, but we'll talk about something fun. In the meantime, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, you folks take care of yourself. And we're going to play the last couple of minutes of Dr. Carson's amazing speech at the National Prayer Breakfast. Take care.
And I want to close with this story. 200 years ago, this nation was involved in a war, the War of 1812. The British, who are now our good friends, thought that we were young whippersnappers. It was time for us to become a colony again. They were winning that war, marching up the eastern seaboard, destroying city after city, destroyed Washington, D.C., burned down the White House. Next stop, Baltimore. As they came into the Chesapeake Bay, that armada of ships, warships, as far as the eye could see, it was looking grim. Fort McHenry, standing right there. General Armistead, who was in charge of Fort McHenry, had a large American flag commissioned to fly in front of the fort. The admiral in charge of the British fleet was offended. He said, "Take that flag down. You have until dusk to take that flag down. If you don't take it down, we will reduce you to ashes." There was a young amateur poet on board by the name of Francis Scott Key, sent by President Madison to try to obtain the release of an American physician who was being held captive. He overheard the British plans. They were not going to let him off the ship. He mourned as dusk approached. He mourned for his fledgling young nation. And as the sun fell, the bombardment started. Bombs bursting in air, missiles, so much debris. He strained trying to see, was the flag still there? Couldn't see a thing. All night long it continued. At the crack of dawn, he ran out to the banister. He looked, straining his eyes, but all he could see was dust and debris. And then there was a clearing, and he beheld the most beautiful sight he'd ever seen. The torn and tattered stars and stripes still waving. And many historians say that was the turning point in the War of 1812. We went on to win that war and to retain our freedom. And if you had gone into the grounds of Fort McHenry that day, you would have seen at the base of that flag the bodies of soldiers who took turns propping up that flag. They would not let that flag go down because they believed in what that flag symbolized. And what did it symbolize? One nation. Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. God bless.